Great method.
So let's turn in our Bibles to Ephesians chapter 3. We're going to do our last study in Ephesians, or in this prayer that we've been looking at for the last few weeks. And then most likely we'll continue our study through the book of John. Amazing. Well, let's read it together. It says, "For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened in the inner man with might through his Spirit, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and the length and the depth and the height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church, by Christ Jesus, to all generations, forever and ever. Amen." So we looked at this prayer of the Apostle Paul. And you know, many times we have these weird perceptions of prayer. We almost think that prayer is like Aladdin, you know, just a genie comes out and you just tell him your wishes and then God is there to be our genie. But it's prayer is not like that at all. When Jesus says, "Anything you ask in my name," he definitely did not mean anything we want. He said what he was saying is everything you ask in my nature, in my very nature, in the nature of who I am, in the nature of what I want to do in your life. And so when we read this prayer by the Apostle Paul, our ears should perk up, because at the end of the day, when we read this prayer, we know, because Paul was inspired by the Spirit of God to write and to pray this, we know that that is the will of God for us. We know we can pray that with confidence. In Ephesians chapter 1, he prayed that our lives will be filled with hope. In Ephesians chapter 3, he's praying that we will be strengthened in that hope, and that the heart and the will and the mind would be transformed, and that we would not trust in our ability. And we looked at the fact that the people that God has used over the ages have been not people that had great trust and confidence in their ability, but were people that had great trust and confidence in God's ability. And last week, we looked at the fact that he uses this expression that you might be rooted and grounded in love. So it's crazy, because the strengthening is to love. And we looked at the distinction, or at least we looked at rooted in love, and we saw the trees, the Samoan trees in Northern California, how they go 5 meters deep, but then they spread wide. And they nourish themselves from the ground. They derive their energy from the ground and the sun. And we see that that is the motivation of our hearts should be love. The drive, the power in our hearts should be love. But he doesn't just use the word rooted as in plants. He also uses the word grounded, as you see there. He prays that we will be strengthened, that we might be rooted and grounded in love. And that speaks of a great foundation. Whenever we look at our lives, whenever we look to do anything in life, but whenever we look at our lives, we must ask ourselves, what is the foundation of my life? You know, you go to New York City, Loretta loves the city, and you just marvel at those amazing tall buildings that are there. The Empire State Building, Arden calls it the Vampire State Building. Well, he used to, and then you saw the Freedom Tower, and you just are in just astonished, and you marvel. You go to Chicago, and you have the Sears Tower, and just these amazing buildings. But most of us would marvel at how tall they are. But not everybody thinks about how tall they are. An engineer would think to himself, how in the world can this stand so tall and not fall over? So that person thinks of how deep it goes. Before you build high, you have to build deep. Below the heights, there needs to be a foundation that's strong enough to support the heights. Before ever building up, a construction team must build down. Foundations are important. And the Christian life has a foundation. And it is vitally important to make sure that the foundation of our Christian life is laid right. If it's not laid right, we're going to fly high, and then we're going to find ourselves like the roadrunner, you know, where you go over a cliff and you realize there's nothing beneath you, and you just... And Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 10 says that he builds according to the grace of God, which was given to him as a wise master builder. He says, I have laid a foundation, and a foundation cannot be rushed. It is durable, it is solid, and it lasts a lifetime. In Nova Santa Ponsa, years ago, we had a guy serving here at the church with us named Kuno. And we went to look at a house together they were thinking about purchasing because it was half the price. Actually, they were selling the house for the price of the plot of land, and it was a nice house. It had like 5-6 bedrooms. It had a pool. It had a nice yard. It was just incredible. There was just one little problem, that when they built the house, they didn't bother to check the foundation. And it was on 2 moving plates. So I have to be careful what I say to them, because we have an architect in the house, you know, it's just like, oh my goodness. But it had 2 moving plates. And what happened is the house looked great. But then the plates began to move apart. And the house just split. But then what happened is the owners just taped it up and painted it, made it look nice, and then sold it to somebody else. And then Kuno was interested because he's a builder, and he's like, man, I can redeem this thing for the plot of land. But the point being is that whoever built that house did not pay attention to the foundation. And in the end, it was more work than it was worth. So with our life. With our life, we must, with our Christian life, we must make sure that we build on a solid foundation, on a deep foundation. Luke 6:48, Jesus says, I'll tell you, the wise man is like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. And in contrast to digging deep and taking time is something that gives us quick returns. Let's get it quickly. And this is a problem. This is our problem in our society more than ever. Even in Mallorca, we moved to Mallorca 20-something years ago, and we moved from London, and we were with somebody sitting down, and I said to him, my goodness, the pace is so slow here. And he said, I find it very fast. And I said, really? How come you find it so fast? And he's like, well, I lived in the Sahara before here. And so it's kind of, but our time now is probably the most rushed it's ever been, with the news, with the social media, with everything. We want everything fast. We're not content with, we used to wait for a letter for 2 weeks. Now we're not content if we don't get a package the next day. They even have same-day delivery. And so people in the Christian life want the experience, they want the heights. But they're not very interested sometimes in the depth. And how does that translate to our life? How does that translate? When Paul says that you be rooted and grounded in love, he's saying the foundation of our life, we must pay attention to lay, is to make sure that we have a foundation, a source of life, but then a stability of a foundation of love. Number one, our relationships must be built upon love. And the number one relationship in our life that must be built upon love is our relationship to God. It's not intellectualism. It's not mere duty. It's not theory and philosophizing. It's not debating your opinion versus my opinion. No, it is, what is our habitual attitude? What is the attitude of our heart when it comes to God? Look what it says in Mark 12:30. It says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God." Oh, sorry. No, it's not in Mark. The Lord is one. Oh, no. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. So as Christians, the foundation of our life is not only to believe, it's not to believe in Him, but rather is, do we love Him? It's a personal relationship. It's not impersonal. God is not an it. He is a person, and we need to ask ourselves the question, do I love God? What's the foundation? And I found, this is not exhaustive, but the other day I was thinking, it's like, it's funny. It's almost like people have four different relationships with God. Some people, and they're true. They're all true. Some people have a legal relationship with God. Right? So in other words, the law is against us. We are guilty of the law. But there's this law relationship. But Jesus came and He paid the price. And, you know, He actually did a legal transaction where He, through His sacrifice, made us innocent. So the legal aspect is there. And it's hugely important. Then some of us have kind of like a doctor-patient relationship with God. I'm sick. I need help. And it's the great physician, you know? It's like, I need help. Please help me. Please heal my emotions. Please heal my, you know, my guilt. Please heal all these things. And there's this relationship like that. Then there's another relationship. And that's good as well, of course. I mean, Jesus is the great physician. People came to Him for that. So I'm not knocking that. But then people have a relationship of a friend. Jesus is, you know, the friend, and there's a beautiful, loving friendship that goes. But then there's also, Jesus said, when you pray, say, "Our Father, who art in heaven." And it goes deeper than friendship. It goes deeper. But the question is, are we in the legal? Are we in the physician? Are we in the friendship? Are we moving to, we've been adopted? And I understand this. I mean, Arden said to me the other day, "Dad," well, he says it all the time, "Daddy, I love you." And then he said, "You are my hero. You're such a good dad." Oh my goodness, you know what that does? And I feel like in some ways, it might sound simplistic, but we need to get to know our Father in such a way that we have a geyser inside of us an explosion of worship, because it wasn't legal with Arden. It wasn't friendship. It was just a sense of love because of the depth of relationship that we share. We are called not only to believe in him, but to love him. Not only to know about him, but to love him. And Paul bows his knees to the Father. And he says, I pray to the Father that you will be strengthened in the inner man, that you may be rooted and grounded in love, that the foundation of your life would be one of being understanding God's love for you and actually loving God back as you clearly, practically, the way that you would know your father, the way that you would know your mother, the way that you would know your friends, that you would know God in such a way that you actually, deep in your heart, you blow up with thankfulness and worship and love. So what's our attitude when we pray? When there's nobody with you, it's just you and God, what's your attitude? Is it legal? Is it just surgeon? Is it friendship? Do you sense the love of God? Do you just, there's the movie Amazing Grace about Wilberforce. He was a young man that was used in the UK to abolish slavery. And there's a scene in the movie that I just love. He's got his books and he's got his Bible and he just goes to a field with grass in the UK, you know, and he just puts his books down and he just lays down and he just looks to heaven with a smile. And as he's, and that scene to me just speaks of the attitude of our hearts as we go out to the mountains, as we walk. And we just are able to smile. We're able to see a sunset. We're able to see just the colors. I mean, they're never mismatched. The colors always match in creation. And to be able to realize that the God who created everything, although we had a legal problem or have a legal problem with God, that he is holy and we are completely unholy, that he, because of his love, sent his son to the cross. And because he went to the cross, I am free. I am forgiven. There's no condemnation. And he has healed my heart. And then I grow and I see my friendship. But then I realize, oh my goodness, I've been adopted. And my attitude towards God is one that just as I think about his character, his righteousness, his goodness, his faithfulness, and I don't just think about it from words. I have practical examples from the Word of God and from other people's lives and from my own life that all you can do is just smile to heaven. Just smile at the sense that we're so loved and that we get to love them. And listen, for me, this is really important because people become Christians. And automatically, it's like, how can we put you to work for the kingdom? Let's put you to work for the kingdom. And I think that's wrong. I think we need to be very careful that we don't put people working for the kingdom so quickly. Of course, we want to be in step with what God is doing, with what the Spirit is doing, and we want to give people opportunities, but we have to make sure that we don't make slaves of people, but that people realize who he is and that everything that they do, anything that they do, anything that they give, anything that they're involved in, they're doing because the love of God constrains them. One of the greatest things that I find so sad is when people have been part of a church and they were even maybe not even believers, and then they feel when they leave that they were used. That should never happen. We should be at a place where we build a foundation of our lives has to be one that we don't pretend to know God. We know him and we worship him. To gaze, to marvel, not rushing forward. And you know what? When you do this with your life, when you read your Bible, it's not, oh my goodness, I got to read the Bible for 5 minutes today.
again.
You might have a system, you might not have a system, but there's a sense that whenever you open this book, you don't open it as a sense of duty, you open it to discover. You go to discover. When you serve, we had a movie night the other day on Wednesday, and it was a really nice time. And you just kind of got a sense, everybody that was involved with it, that there was a joy in it. Oh my goodness, we're serving Jesus. And sometimes complaining can creep in. You know, I remember in London, we used to take all the sound equipment and all the children's stuff from the 7th floor to an elevator across the street and set it up every morning. And some days I was not in the joy of the Lord, that's for sure. But when you got to the foundation of it, when I thought about it, the reason I was doing what I was doing is because I was so grateful for what God had done. Prayer becomes intimate. It becomes loving. Church becomes a delight. We can't wait because there's a sense, Lord, church is not my idea. Church is your idea. And we want to be with God's people. And our lives become filled with gratitude for who He is and what He has done. And that's the foundation we need to lay in our life. That's the foundation. The focus is not doing. The focus is knowing Him, fellowshipping with Him. And out of that flow everything. That's why it's so important. If you do not know the Lord here today, we are not trying to make church members. We are not trying to conform people to us. We are trying to introduce you to God. So that the prophecies of the Old Testament that it says in the last days, no longer will someone have to say to somebody else, this is your God. They all will know me firsthand. There's no such a thing as kind of like, here, I'm the priest and I know God, and then you're there and you don't know God, and I just kind of explain him to you every day. That's not the goal of this ministry. The goal of this ministry is that you yourself would know God personally, intimately, lovingly, and that your life will be filled with confidence because you yourself know God. And when you move from Mallorca, you go with Jesus. The foundation with God needs to be one of love. So we need to pay attention with that. But listen, your relationship with our relationships with one another have to be based upon love. Jesus says, love your neighbor as yourself. And you know what? We can go to all kinds of meetings. We can seek some it. But if it does not lead to us growing in love, it's absolutely vanity. If the meetings don't cause us to love our neighbor, not cause us to love our enemies, not causing to love your friends, not causing to love your parents, not causing you to love your children, not causing you to love your wife, not causing you to love your husbands, not causing you to love workers and employees, love their bosses from the heart, if something doesn't happen with this overwhelming love of God, doesn't translate into loving people, then something's wrong. Now, I'm not saying that we don't have debates. Doesn't mean that we don't have arguments. Paul and Barnabas had a great argument. Jesus rebuked the people in the temple. So it doesn't mean that we get used. It doesn't mean that we don't put some certain boundaries, but it just means that in our heart, we see people and we don't throw malice at them. We see people as they are. Sometimes we need to feel sorry for them. Sometimes we need to put boundaries there. Sometimes we just need to help. Sometimes we need to know wisely how to help. But the ultimate desire in our hearts is never to harm, but to do good. The question is, how do we best love somebody? In other words, if someone is asking you for money and they're a drug addict, you're not going to be very loving by just giving it to them. Does that make sense? So love is not just weak, do whatever somebody else wants. Love is truly what is best in this situation. And it is a process for us to grow in this. And that's why Paul's saying, you have to be strengthened inside to love like this. And this will take a lifetime and it'll take hard processes to get you there. But the reality is that that's where God is taking us. I mean, what's the point of marriage if there's not love at home? I mean, if you don't love each other, what's the point of marriage? What's the point of having kids? We wanted kids so badly for so long. And I said, Loretta, maybe God's sparing us. And she's like, oh, I'd rather have loved and lost than not have loved at all. And she was quoting somebody. And I was like, okay, here we go. And then we got Arden and Jonathan. And the other day, Loretta looks at me. He's like, why did we want kids again? It's challenging. But you grow in love, no? You get to know a different aspect. What's the point of friendship if there's no mutual love? What's the point of church if we don't love each other? What's the point of teaching? I mean, what would be the point of me teaching if there's not a love for the interest, for your interest, for God's? I mean, and it can kind of go off. I could just care about God's interest, you know, and not your interest. But I mean, realizing that God's interest is your interest, that you know, what's the point? If I'm not teaching to build you up and to equip you, then what's the point? What's the point of giving? And you know, Ephesians, I mean, he's saying, chapter 3, he's saying that you will be strengthened in the inner man, that you might be rooted and grounded in love, that you together, remember, it says together with all the saints, it is together that we're going to experience the depth, the height, the length, the width of the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge. In other words, you can't even comprehend it with your mind. You have to experience it. I mean, today, as Queen and Eddie were talking, we were mutually encouraged. Right? It's together that we experience this. But look, and even in chapter 3 says that, and you get to chapter 4, you get to chapter 5, you get to chapter 6. Chapter 4 says God has given apostles, and he's given teachers, and he's giving prophets, and he's giving pastors, hey, to build you up. And then in chapter later on, he says, submit to one another in love. He says, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. Wives, submit to your husbands. It says, children, obey your parents. It says, workers, honor, you know, just serve your bosses. And what he's saying is, apply this amazing foundation of love around you. And you know what? Sometimes the hardest place to love is at home. My mom would always say, I hope you get a kid like you. She says, you are so nice to everybody else and so mean to me. It's rough, but it's true. I was the worst teenager you can imagine. But that we would be people, the foundation is the love of God. And we love God, and it translates to we loving people. But number 3, not just our relationships have to be founded on love, but also our attitude towards the Word of God and the ways of God need to be rooted and grounded in love. That needs to be the foundation. Do I love His Word? We have a very interesting church. We have all kinds of people that come through here. And sometimes I think from the ideas, I just feel like people, sometimes I get the feeling people don't know the Word of God for themselves. And this is like we can sort of think of our spiritual experiences as more important than the Word of God. And listen, let me tell you this. Their Bible was written by 50 different authors, some kings, some shepherds, some, you know, all kinds of variety. It was written in a period of 1,500 years, and it was written, it's not one book, it is a library of books. No, it does not contradict, it has one theme of this one person that will come to rescue us. Listen, if we do not love the Word of God, we do not know God. God has given, I know it sounds crazy, but God has given this book for us to filter through and know who God is. And we have a lot of talk about Jesus. But the question is, which Jesus? Because we can make a Jesus of our imagination. Islam has a Jesus that has nothing to do with the Jesus of the Bible. Well, Buddhism, they love Jesus. But we have an Old Testament that prophesied he would come, that said exactly what he would do before he came, so that when he came, we would know that this was God. Then we have the Gospels, he shows up. And then we have the apostles who explain exactly and recorded. I'm going to give you one example of this. But let me tell you this. Let me say that, let's say that I told you that JF Kennedy never died. That it wasn't actually John Kennedy that died. It was actually somebody else that died. What would you say? You'd be like, you weren't even there. There was witnesses that were there. They know. And we believe the witnesses. I'm just going to give you one example of history. Islam. Muhammad showed up. He had a Christian wife and a Jewish wife. And at one point, the Jews and the Christians said, listen, you might be a prophet of your own, but you're not our prophet. And so he had a bit of a mix-up of religion in him. And so he separated from the Jew and from the Christian. And at first he was quite friendly. And then he started what we know as Islam. Well, the Quran says that Jesus did not die on the cross. That it was actually Judas that died on the cross. The problem is that he lived 650 years later. Do you see what I mean? So, and I'm not trying to bash. I mean, I'm just trying to help us understand that there is a Jesus of the Bible that the Old Testament prophesied and the Gospels recorded from eyewitnesses, the Acts of the Apostles from eyewitnesses, and the epistles from those that were there with them or had a tremendous experience like the Apostle Paul with them. And it is in this book that we are going to understand who God is. Listen to this, Psalm 119:97. How I love your law. How I love your word. Verse 127. I love your commandments above gold. They are sweeter than honey. Then he says, great peace have they that love your law. 1 John 5:3. This is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. His commandments are not burdensome. And I want to say this. Do you want to go deeper in your knowledge of the love of God? To be filled with all the fullness of God? Do you say, I want to live my life for him? Here, you're going to discover the true love of God. Not legalism, not laxity, but love. And we need to lay a foundation. We love God. We love his word. We love people. And you know what? If we build that foundation, a foundation always brings stability. It will bring stability to your life. It will bring stability from your life to other people. And it will bring hope to people. And the question, I'm going to close with this. How do we build? Number one thing we need to know, it won't be fast. It's not going to be a quick thing. Our relationship with Jesus is something, it's like with a plant, it takes time. we need the right materials. The Word of God, prayer, the breaking of bread, fellowship, it means we're in community. I just love it. Just recently, I mean, people that have become part of the church, it's just amazing how the mutual love and the mutual complementing of each other that happens. The conversations as we share our weak moments, and people say, man, I'm going through that too. Let's pray together. We need a yielding determination. Determined to yield to what the Spirit of God does in our life. A loving investment in the kingdom of God. And this is, to me, probably the most important one. We need to keep tender hearts. We need to allow our hearts to be tender towards God and to be tender towards people. And I was thinking, as Eddie was sharing here today, and he was saying it was so hard. And Queen, and you know, it's easy for the storms of life to hit. And difficult times, difficult seasons come, and our hearts grow hard. But Paul prays that our hearts, that we will be strengthened in the inner man, that God was to do a work in us to make us people that love God and love other people. If you lay that foundation for your life, as time goes on, you will become immovable. You will become indestructible, no matter what comes your way. Listen to Romans 8. Yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. See the foundation, love? We are more than conquerors through us who loved us, through him who loved us. For I am persuaded, I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. You see the confidence there? But it's not blind confidence. It's a person that knows God personally, intimately, lovingly. And it brings stability. And the encouragement for us today, if you're new as a Christian here, maybe you're not even a Christian. What's the foundation? And here today is presented the best foundation that the universe has ever known, the love of God. So let's pray together. Father, we thank you so much, Lord, for your grace. We thank you, Lord, for your great desire for us, Lord. You came not to rob hope from us, not to confuse us. You came to dignify us. You came to forgive us. You came to build our lives, to restore our life, and to put a foundation beneath us that nothing will be able to shake. Father, I pray that no one here today will leave without a sense that you love us and that we would know your love truly through your word, by your spirit, and by the relationship, Lord, that you develop with us, not in one day merely, but through the rest of our life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.